views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hit radio show, Psychic Cup of Coffee, with Kelly Sutliff on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a gifted psychic medium who has worked in her industry for over 14 years. During this hit show, Kelly will be offering inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief and share with people that the psychic world is very real. Psychic Cup of Coffee's message is simple. It's all about keeping psychic ability real and how it is a part of our world every single day. We just need to pay attention and listen. Are you listening? Call 1-800-930-2819 with your questions. Now here is your host, Kelly Sutliff.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Psychic Cup of Coffee. I am happy to be here with you on this kind of rainy day as we have. You know what? I was really kind of pondering today what I was going to discuss and what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, I always say, you know what, I'm always kind of divine intervention or guided, right? And I really pay attention to signs and symbols. And when I was sitting there, actually, I belong to a group called Lost and Missing. And what happens is on my Facebook page, I'll get pictures or of the missing. And did you know actually in the United States, just so kind of a crazy fact and an unfortunate fact, 2,000 people go missing a day. How about that? And when we have those type of statistics, it's overwhelming. And the great thing about the Stagless site that Cynthia Karen, she's pretty terrific. And she was nominated, actually, as volunteers, actually, in 2009 for The View in the top 10 people for her work and her volunteer work with this organization. And it's an awesome site, and it's lostandmissing.org if you ever want to check it out. And what she does or what the program is that it's a site for everybody. So often when there's missing persons cases, what transpires, and because I'm a psychic medium, I do a lot of volunteering with cases, and I'll get cases, and people will give me them, and I'll throw my two bits into it to see where I think these people are. And what happens is that, you know, Lost and Missing is great because they will feature all people. It's not just, you know, young people or young children that go missing. It's, you know, people who are older. It's people who are, you know, infirm. There's people who are, you know, all walks of life. And the great thing, too, with this is she covers cold cases. And, you know, a cold case is basically a case that's never been solved, right? And, you know, they stay in databanks and banks. And the good thing about that is as, you know, time goes forward, technology goes forward also. So oftentimes, you know, what something would have been in 1985 is obviously totally different when we have the year of 2014 and where technology can take us. And especially when you see forensic work and forensics and you look at, you know, spirit artists or people who are, I call them spirit artists because that's what we use as a group. But, you know, the people who define and draw the pictures of people and define it, they now have, you know, all these graphics and these 3D graphics of things that they can do. So it's really cool because then Lost and Missing will actually post these new photographs of, you know, of maybe pictures that a sketch artist might have done in 1985 versus what transpires. So as I was, you know, on Facebook today and, you know, looking at that, all of a sudden I saw this case and it was like light bulb moment for me. And I looked at that and I'm like, oh my gosh, we had worked. And I say my cohort, what do you call it? Nancy Smith. She's my spirit artist friend. And we work cases together where she'll draw the perpetrator or the sketches of things. And I obviously get the information and she does too, but she can draw it. And she's that talented. And in that situation, what we do is, you know, we'll give the information off to the state police or FBI command centers or whomever it would be, the players would be, who we can send it to, or private investigators that we work with, who we trust, who will send the information on for us. So because what happens in this whole investigative thing is, you know, you get some people who are believers in their work, and my gig is basically, you know what, take the information, run with it, and see where it takes you. Because, you know what, I'm working for the other side, I'm working for the souls on the other side who might be missing or possibly dead. So that's, you know, how we roll. So in that process of it all, when I saw this case that came up on Lost and Missing, it resonated with me significantly, because my good old friend Nancy Smith, when her and I were working on the Selena Cass case, and this was a young girl that went missing out of New Hampshire, and this happened 3 years ago, and this was a pretty significant case. I talked about this actually in my book and how we work, and this was evidence to show how I work as a psychic investigator. And so there's this picture that comes up, and it's in 3D. Because, again, that's that technology that they have today, right? And I look at it, and I see the face, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is the drawing that my friend Nancy did. Because what was happening is that when we were tuning in is to that case, the Selena Cass case when she went missing, Nancy, when she was drawing other children. And she was drawing other children and people from the area that were missing. So they would just come up. Like, that's what happens as when you work as an intuitive. You know, I always joke and say, you know, when I do a reading for people, I talked to this on Saturday when I did my reading for someone, you know, spirits, like, no one takes a number at the meat counter here. They're not like that. They just kind of, like, bop right in. And when you're giving evidence and you're giving information, it's coming through like that. So what transpires is that's how what it was happening for Nancy. Even though she had drawn, you know, the perperpetrator in reference to who she thought might have taken this young girl, Selena Cass. But what really happened with this is that, you know what, she was gathering other information on other cases. So, you know, Selena Cass went missing, just so you know, this young 9-year-old little girl. She went missing from an area in New Hampshire that was pretty, you know, isolated, right? And when I was all over the news in the cold case collaborative that I work with, actually at a Boston University, there's a bunch of us that work cases. And when we got this case, you know, I really felt this importance of, we have to get our information out right now. Don't wait. Everybody, normally what we do is we compile it and we send it in together. But this case, I was like, no, we have to get this out now. So wherever you get, just send over to this FBI command center and send it over, because it's really time is of the essence with this kid. And I'm like, if she does not, I really felt in the time frame of this, if she was not found in within like 3 or 4 days, she'd be passed away. And I saw that and felt it. And so it was, like, really important to send our information out. So everybody did as such. And then, sure enough, we are going to meet in my office. And as we're going to meet, I get a call from a private investigator that they had found her, they found some remains, and they felt it was Selena Cass's remains. And when they found her, it was literally 4 days after I knew that she was going to be missing, and they were going to find her. And unfortunately, I knew that she was going to be found dead. And I did feel at the time when we were reading that we were going to find her, that she was still alive. And in the essence of that, what happened is we all get to my office, right? And my other friends are spirit artists too, and we go to we then all connect, right? And in doing so, when we look at each of those two drawings, from my friend Peggy and my friend Nancy, they look the same. So here these women didn't even connect yet. They didn't even give the information. We all worked on it individually. And here they are, actually, when you looked at their pictures of who they drew, who this perpetrator was, it looked the same. So it's amazing to me and how spirit always works. It always surprises me. It's always amazing like that. And to think that here we are going to meet, and then obviously we dove into more information on what we received. We're going to talk a lot more about that when we go to break, after break here. And when we do so, you know, we're going to really talk on how this whole gig works when we do psychic investigations. So we'll be back very shortly, everybody, and we'll continue the conversation on psychic investigations.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start winning the game of life with the unique, incomparable Lynn Brown. Lynn's powerful, transferable tools stem from her success in the very competitive world of sports and business.
Since Lynn was one of the top athletes in the United States, she understands really well about the athlete's mind, their challenges, and what athletes need. I have confidence to ask Lynn to take care of my professional team just because of Lynn, her passion, and the power she has.
Lynn is passionate about working with kids and with athletes. Her life is a testament to the incredible power of intention to create miracles. Lynn is dedicated to assisting and inspiring leaders with the vision and tools to realize their dreams.
And she wants to help you next. Enhance your overall performance and the ability to reach your goals. Bring your game face on. Visit letter R, letter U, Intuit.com or call 844 letter B, Intuit.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Psychic Cup of Coffee. As we were discussing, actually, cases and how psychic investigators work, and I'm talking cases today about things that I've worked on, and what kind of channeled me today to talk about it is actually I ran across a case that I really feel is connected to another case that I'd worked on, and I saw this image, actually, that came through on Lost and Missing. Now, I'd worked on a case back in 2011, at the end of July. And it was the Selena Cass case, as we were discussing. And myself and a few other people that we work with, actually in the Cold Case Collaborative, we will work cases here and there and, you know, volunteer our time to tune into what we can receive. And at the time when I were, and I talk about the Selena Cass case in my book, Listen Up, The Other Side is Talking. And when I was working this, what happens is you get gather of information. It's like I call it the psychic press release. And what transpires is that you get the who, what, when, where, and how. Okay, if anybody knows press releases, those are the four or five questions you got to answer actually in that press release to give, you know, the information to the media and what you're discussing. And so what I did is, you know, you put all that information together and you ask all the questions on who might have taken this child, where is she, what do I see, give me the location of things. And we rattled off all this data. And as a group, we started working with this. Well, my friend Nancy, as I was saying earlier, was drawing. And when she was drawing, she was getting other children and people who went missing. And so today, as I was starting to chat about earlier in the first segment, is that when I saw this case that came across the Facebook program, and anyways, it was, you know, three people, or four people actually, who went missing in 1985, and they went missing, you know, from New Hampshire, not too far from where Selena went missing. And I should say where they, you know, where they were found. And they were found in, like, Allentown, New Hampshire. And it was this child's face that was done, like, in 3D, okay, because technology is so different today. So these four people are missing. The three are young children. One is, like, they're thinking between the age of 1 and 2, the other one 2 to 4, the other one between 10 and 11, and then an older woman who is between the age of 22 and maybe 30, they thought, based on the bodies that were found. They were found in drums. Two were found together. And a few years later, a drum was found by another detective that had the other two bodies in it. And believe it or not, they were from 100 feet from each other. But the drums weren't caught at the same time when they were doing their investigations, basically because hunters had found them, right? So you can imagine it was a pretty desolated area. So as I look at this child's face, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the face that Nancy drew. And so as I'm looking at this, obviously Nancy and I will be working on this case again and seeing what other information we can get. But this is a huge, you know, case that haunts many people. How can four people and babies and young people go missing and from an area and no one know anything? No one knows anything. No one saw anything. No one sees anything. You know what I mean? You know what? It brings tears to your eyes. Okay, how can people become invisible and no one knows anything? Which is basically poppycock with all that, because we know people know things and we know people probably observe things or know of people. And you know, these cases, when they're out there, they never go away. The soul never dies. The soul will never not let something get investigated, will never give up. And because of that, that's where we kick it in as psychics. We kick it in so that, you know what, we can help out. We can provide that closure possibly. And you know what, and gather information so that the detectives can take it and run with it. And that's all it is. It's just, you know what? I can't help what I do, but I have this link. And I'm glad I can do it. But I can gather information and provide it. And I've been pretty fortunate to help on cases and give information and forward information so that, you know what, detectives can take it then and use it. You know, and that's what's so it's really healthy. It's really good. It's so needed. And especially, you know, when I'm hearing statistics that, you know what, there's detectives working on over 600 cases across the country of missing children dating that literally have come to a roadblock, that they have no idea who these unidentified bodies are, of who these kids are, who they were, and across the nation. And that's what I'm seeing is 660 kids that, you know what, these are missing people. And it frustrates me because when I work information, I really feel that it's coming through a direct link. And where it's coming from, people, is it's coming from my able to connect with the other side with the information. And some people say, oh my gosh, that's crazy, you can't do that. Well, it just is. And I gather information and I give it. And that's kind of my volunteerism and giving back there to be able to do that. And it was real specific in these cases because these four children is here we are, like, you know, 15 years later or more, or, you know, more so then. And, you know, they, because we have technology now, they've done 3D pictures of what they've seen from, you know, the skeletal remains. And these children, you know, they look at this and, you know, you start to question, was this a professional hit? Was there drugs involved? Was there domestic violence? Was, you know, it's very significant in the cases of things. And I'm really feeling, I can actually, you know, it sounds just crazy, but I'm, like, excited to be able to work this because I really am seeing there could be a possible connection. I felt actually all along, and for the record, I just always felt that child, Selena Cass, was actually abducted by a perpetrator who has done this before in that area. And I saw that, felt that, sensed that. My Nancy, who was drawing, she was picking up all these other children. It wasn't just this one child, Selena Cass, that we were picking up on. And I'm always just like, okay, why isn't that evidence? That, to me, that's strong evidence. And now see if there's a correlation. And you know what? There was gobs of sex offenders and gobs of perpetrators all in that area of where that kid went missing. And you know what? And, you know, really the wrong people. And of people who came in and out of their house and their location of things where that child was missing, and kind of, you know, the wrong activity is what I'm saying with stuff. And I feel that, you know what, that I just think there's a connection there. And I'm feeling that, so, you know what, this is obviously going to be a to-be-continued type of case, and I'll definitely talk about it once we dive into it after the fact. But what is interesting to me is when I was out in Michigan a few weeks back, I did a book signing for my book at Barnes & Noble and did some PR work and connected for things. And when I was there, when I came home, I feel like I've been on the road back and forth. Of course, my son's won his playoffs for the Liberty League, Hobart, where he goes to college. So we've been in New York every weekend watching his football games and all. But when I come back, I've been back and forth a lot, so I didn't get to my office actually for like 2 weeks. And so when I got there, I got a letter from a detective in the Downriver area, and he had sent me this information. And he says, I've been working in a cold case. I'm a retired detective, and this case is dated back to all the way to 1937. I saw your article in the paper in the News Herald, and they did an awesome piece and talked about my work. And I would like to know if you would dive into this to see if you can find anything. So out comes out of the envelope was three pictures. One was a picture of the car, a 1937 Oldsmobile car that they were in, the picture of the Hollywood bar where they went missing, and three pictures of the three people. There was two women and a man that went missing. And I'm looking at these old photos. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I think this would be, like, the oldest case I've ever worked on. And so what I did is I started to sit and gather information and looking at the pictures, because sometimes when you have a visual of the whole, that can be a good thing, and to see what information I was getting. So here I go with my psychic press release, right? Who, what, when, where, how. And I start writing and getting information and start describing what I see, what I feel, what I sense. And you have to be pretty specific. You don't, like, you know, oh, they drive this, they have a red shirt on, they have this, that, and the other, unless something, like, really pops at you that would be a significant piece. But that's the part where you start diving into real details, where you have to figure out locations, where they went missing. And the whole idea was actually to see if I knew where they were missing or basically who did it. Right, those two big questions. So that's what we really start to gather, and I start to put that together. And so that's what's really important, is that when you do that kind of thing, and then it just starts to flow, and I just start writing it out. And that's what's really good, is that when I start to do that, it's very, very important. So what we're going to do is we're going to discuss all those details from this cool case that I did from 1937. I'm going to share what I got and what was proven to me, what was right. And we're going to run to our break and come back and talk all those cool details that I received actually from Spirit when I worked on this case from 1937. Be back in a minute, everyone.
to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. Anxiety is in many ways a learned behavior, which is rooted in our childhood. During our early years, when we are the most dependent on others, negative feedback, judgment, or ridicule infiltrate our subconscious mind and leave us wondering whether we are really safe, lovable, or good enough. In response, a part of our mind develops protective strategies to keep us from getting hurt. Let's imagine that the anxiety you've been battling with stems from the part that has assumed the job of keeping you safe. Doesn't it then make sense that your anxiety makes you expect the worst so that you are prepared, keeps you on your toes to avoid failure, or shames and belittles you before someone else can do this to you? When you consider the source of your anxiety as a vulnerable child that just tries to keep you safe, you no longer feel that you're the victim of your own mind, but instead are more easily able to take on the role of the caring, reassuring adult.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Put a little woohoo in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We're talking cases today. And it's really important, actually. It's funny. You know, many of the cases that I work on, I get feedback on. Some I don't. Some I do. Love when I can get feedback. And it's amazing to me, actually, when I, you know, because I hear it, see it, feel it, sense it, using that psychic press release and information that I get. And when you do that and you get the confirmation, there's nothing better. It's just like when I do a reading for somebody and you get information and they confirm with you, yeah, that's what that was. That's who this person you were describing was, but I couldn't think of it at the time. And so with cases, it works that way too. And I was recently given a case, which was the bomb, okay? It was like probably the oldest case I've ever worked on. And it was a case out of, you know, in 1937, there was three people that went missing in Michigan. And how I got this case is I had come back from a book tour in Michigan a few weeks ago. And in doing so, the local papers had done a really nice spread on my work and all that kind of thing with announcing my book signing and a really nice piece on how I work. And it was really terrific. And a shout out there to the News Herald. And when I was on the case and looking at that and giving examples of things that I'd worked in the local area, I came back to a letter at my office, and the letter was from a detective, a retired detective from the Downriver area, and he has always had an interest in this case, and it was an old case from 1937, where three people went missing, And out comes out three photos. And one is a case of the three photos. It's three people, one man and two women that were missing, a picture of the 1937 car, and the location of where they went missing, which was a picture of the Hollywood Bar in Melvindale, Michigan. So I'm like, holy cow, this has to be like the oldest case I've ever worked on. And so as I'm gathering all this information, I start getting it, right? And so I sit down and I start gathering, and I'm using my psychic press release. Those questions I always ask, who, what, where, and how. As when you do a press release, that's the kind of questions that you ask. And in doing that, what happens is that I am channeling, because that's what that is. You're asking those questions and you're starting to channel the information, and I'm getting it from these pictures and I'm getting it from the connection that I'm making, and to see my information of what I'm going to get. So I just start asking those questions and trying to get a feel for like where they are and what happened. And in doing that, because this case is so old, and I just get that information. That's all I get. I don't get anything else. And the only thing I emailed him back was, is where was this case at? Like, I didn't know. You didn't give me the location of it, but you told me it was Melvindale. And right away, when I look at the bar, there's a business next to it, and I see that, and I'm like, oh my! I'm like, that has something to do with it. That business next door, there's significant to this case. And then, as I start to get information, the number three keeps popping up, three so important to this case. I find out that actually, obviously I knew there's three people, but I also knew, and I find out after the fact, that this case was called the Trio Case, and the missing Trio Case in Michigan. So it's a real old case, and everybody knew about it back in the day, and it went forward. Nobody knew why these people went missing. But within that, I kept seeing three. Three was significant. Well, come to find out, after I gather all this information, gave tons of it, the number three was actually the last time they were seen was at 3 a.m. I guess they had left the bar at 12 o'clock, from what I was told in feedback. They were at that bar that night, and the last time they were seen were at 3 o'clock, because I guess they went back to the bar and the cops saw them there and was like, why were you here? You know, kind of get out of here. And so that was the last time they were ever seen. So see how evidence shows up? And I guess the location of the business that I saw next door was that one of the women who went missing worked in that business. And the gentleman that went missing, he would pay his loan off, his car loan, to this woman. And that's how they met. So that was significant. So see how spirit points me in directions? And so along with that, spirit points me in directions, I have to give a location of where I feel that these people are, right? And, you know, obviously I feel there was foul play. They didn't take off for, you know, the sunny areas of Mexico or anything crazy like that. I feel that they were really, there was significance here to the case that, there was some crazy involvement that led to their passing. But when I looked at this too, I was being told, go south, go south. So I saw actually where this place was in Melvindale, and I was like, I got to go south of there. And I kept hearing, now I know the area, obviously, because I grew up in the, I didn't know really where this bar was because it wasn't there very long. But so I kept hearing Goddard, go to Goddard, go to Goddard, Goddard the road, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go south of Melvindale. Where am I going? Goddard Road. I'm going this way. I'm seeing the name Rockwood. I'm seeing Monroe. I'm seeing these locations, right? So as I'm like, okay, so here I go. On good old Google. It's like a life-saving, you know, best thing ever to have. So I Google map directions, and I want to go south, and I'm getting location. Sure enough, I pull up a DNR report, right, or a map, Alpha Goddard Road, and I want to go south on Goddard Road. Where am I going? So it's like I get that information and being drawn to that area. In this report, from the DNR report, I see the name, where DNR is actually, with all these maps, is in Rockwood, Michigan, right at the top. I look at this location as I do so. I'm on Goddard Road, and obviously there's houses and different things around that area, but 1937 was probably all a big field in Ellicott, and there's mudflats there. And the water rises and the water lowers. And as I do that and I see that, I'll be darned, there's a Monroe Street that is in that area. So I'm like, okay. So obviously that's pertinent to me. That's important information. Those are three facts that I got from Spirit, and they're all in this map area. So obviously the detective is going to go research that and look at maps from 1937 and what that would be too, to see if there's any significance there. Or Christ, go there and walk there. If I was local, I'd be doing that. And within that, so that was pretty cool to see. But within that too, all the information that I gathered for this, what I received is that all that he confirmed with me that I was right on was that all three people did know each other, because I felt that. Maybe and Reading were the most connected. These are the people that, you know, shared the loan to get, or, you know, he paid the loan to her. Laura was an acquaintance of Reading. And what I also felt, saw too, is that Reading worked in the business next door to the Hollywood Bar. So I got that right spot on, right, when I looked at that picture. Lorimar did leave a child behind when he went missing, because I was being shown that there was a child left behind, and the other two didn't have children. One was in their 40s, and one was in their, I think, 30s, and this man was in his mid-20s. I also saw that this car had something really significant to deal with. This was like a brand-new car, 1937. Okay, we're talking like things were really rough and tough in that era, remember, back then? And you know, people didn't have a lot of money. He's a younger man who's got a lot. He's got this new, brand new car, right? So that's kind of raised a flag in my spirit world there. And I was also seeing too that that on the night of the disappearance, or what I was told afterward, that the three were in the bar, and up until I think like, you know, 12 o'clock, they left that bar, the three of them together. And then went on to go forward and came back at 3 o'clock, and that's when the cops were around and said, you know, you're not to be here anymore, and they left. I also saw that they knew each other, that maybe and Reardon knew each other for a few years. Lorimar was an acquaintance of Reardon. And I was also, you know, gathering that type of data. So what I did is obviously I got all that information proper and correct. And then there's tons of other stuff that I sent him too. And we're still working it, and I have somebody actually who's going to work with me also. So this is what we do. And this is what I kind of do in my spare time between raising children and, you know, work, doing volunteer work and writing a book and doing readings and all that kind of thing. So, but it always amazes me is that, and this is really cool. So this is always synchronicity to me. So the article that came out in the paper that I told you about and the News Herald about me was October 15th. And they went missing October 15th, 1937. So that's synchronistic. That's the information that when I see that, it's like almost spirit sending me that message, okay, that here my article comes out about my work, and here we are 75 years later, on the same date that they go missing. So that's when I always say to people that Spirit finds me. Spirit finds me so that, you know, I can help on their cases, because Spirit never wants their cases not to be solved. They want their information solved. Just like those cases that I brought up earlier about, you know, the Selena Cass case and who that perpetrator was that killed that child. And I look at these little faces of these babies and these young children that I saw on Lost and Missing. And is there a connection to there? You know, because literally where they were found and where Selena Cass case is literally 26, 27 miles away from one another. So that's how I work. That's how we roll in this process. So I will run to break, everybody. We're talking this great subject today, and we'll be back very shortly.
Just mad about saffron. Well, saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just
mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow. Quite right.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News talk show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now.
So how cool was that to think that actually I worked on a case from 1937 and it was significant to the timing, you know, that these people went missing on the date that an article came out in the paper about my work from the local area where I grew up, but I live in Massachusetts, but this case was a local case and a retired detective finds me and says, hey, will you work on this and look at it, give me any information that you think what would be, you know, informative. And here, you know, as I give the information I get back is pretty significant that it was right. So that's kind of my proof in the pudding that all detectives should use psychics. I'm a firm believer of that. You know what? That there's really good people out there that can assist in cases and work this. And you have to want to work on it. Obviously, because, you know, you don't take it lightly by no means. But it's a very important piece to, you know, following your hunches. I'm a firm believer that all police officers, all detectives are all psychic. Whether they want to call it that or not, but they are. And but they trust their instinct. They're intuitive people to be able to, you know, raise their hand to say they want to do that type of work because it's heavy. You know what I mean? That's why there's such burnout with cops. There's, you know, so many people who, you know, have a dark side because of the stuff that they see. It's heavy stuff. It's not easy. And, you know, they get into, you know, it's tough stuff. And, you know, they're overwhelming of us, and here's another one, and here's another one, and, you know, I can't imagine when all of a sudden you, you know, are put into a unit of cases, and your desk is piling up and piling up. And, but you know what? It comes down to using your instinct, using your detective work, even in the case that with these three children, and this is kind of a shocker, they find a deer hunter finds the a steel drum or whatever, and finds these two bodies in it, right? A mother and a little child. And it wasn't until the year 2000, so we're talking 5 years later, that another drum was found with two other children in it that were babies. You know, a one-year-old, basically, you know, probably a, you know, one-year-old and a two-year-old found 100 feet away from where the other drum was found. Like, that to me is like, oh, how can that happen? 100 feet? And no, but they did things differently then. I mean, you know, today social media, everything helps. It helps find cases. I also think, too, with social media, it also gives perpetrators a way to access, you know, crime, which is really dysfunctional. And but within that, I feel that when you look at these processes and you look at that, how detectives can use sources, okay, and use psychics to help on cases. And you know what? I'm a firm believer is that any child person goes missing, you use every source that you can find, and you should use psychics. You should use police forces. You should use your own private detectives. You go all the gamut to see if there's anything that someone can pull out that we're going to help these people solve these cases. And you know what? It's not about the accreditation. It's not as far as, like, you know, me raising my hand and saying, hey, I want the credit for this. Hey, it would be really pretty cool if someone investigates that, if, you know, they investigate that area and my information's right, spot on. But the other aspect of it is that all I hear about is that these souls finding closure and that their family members find closure. And when you even, you know, a case from 1937 or a case from 2009 or 11, you know, or 1985, it doesn't matter. It's about these people having closure for their souls. I mean, it's wretched when you think about these young children, you know, being, you know, bludgeoned to death or whatever. That's what the diagnosis was on these people. And to think that this happened and that there's no one that knows these babies or knows these people. And, you know, and that's what is so discerning. And that's where is, you know what, you just got to make it right sometimes, don't you? You just got to make it right. And as a society, you just do. You owe it to the people who go missing to make it right for them. And, you know, on a volunteer basis, there's many times on a Saturday, I take a few hours for a case here and there, or in between doing laundry. Oh, laundry. You know what? Laundry has gone down in my house, thank God, because Matthew's at school, which is fantastic. But I look at, you know, just that process of it all. And you look at that, and it's like, so I'll do a case or, you know, in between doing things for my work. And you know, that's what's really important, that when you put that all together, that, you know what, you're just volunteering, you're giving your time so that it can help out. Just like even these, you know, retired police detectives, they're working it too. They're going through, you know, stuff because, you know what, they have a passion for it. They have an instinct for it. And you know what, and I think there's also such overloads within our departments, you know, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, our borders protection that happened after 9/11. A lot of funding doesn't go into cities anymore, in towns for the detectives, and that's not their fault. It's just is what it is. You know, the monies are going into the protection of our borders instead of, you know, the monies to be available. So why not use a psychic? Why not use somebody or a team of people who can help out? Or I'm telling you, there are people that are fantastic spirit drawers, and it's amazing. I went to an event this past weekend, and in doing so, saw two people communicating, and the one man was a spirit artist and was drawing the link, and information was coming through, and I was fortunate actually to be connected in the audience. And the person, when I looked at it with his face, he drew my grandmother. And then that was really cool, and he was giving great evidence, but to have the ability to be able to draw and to give evidence at the same time, it's like amazing. That's what my friend Nancy always blows me away with her work. But it's really a piece of it's just a piece of the puzzle, I want to say, of how this whole thing works. But you know what? There's so much good stuff that people volunteer. I think about all the people that volunteer their time when someone actually goes missing, and they volunteer their time to walk in land and walk through, you know, forest and walk through places and bring their dogs, and they're volunteering, you know what I mean, their time, you know, out of compassion. It's really just out of compassion. All the former FBI detectives and private detectives that work cases, and they put all their time and effort, because you know what, they have a passion to make sure that things are done right too. And that's kind of what this is all about when we volunteer as psychic mediums on our cases that we work with. Whether, you know, and you know what's sad to me is I have about, I don't even know, I'm just going to say hypothetically, probably 30 cases that I have a binder. And in those cases are all cases that I sent information with. And those 30 people, you know, a few of them have been found, which is awesome. But, you know, they're still sitting on my desk, and I walk past. Sometimes I'm thinking, okay, that's someone's daughter, that's someone's son, that's someone's, you know, family member, that's a friend. And, you know, I just think there's some good resources that we could use to help all solve these and at least provide really good data, which I think, you know what, my 1937 case I just shared with you is pretty good data of things that I got right that I didn't even know anything about. And that's a good thing to be able to do and share. Will I still work it? Sure, betcha. Will I still be working these other cases? You got it. Because, you know, once you're hooked in, you're hooked in. And it doesn't leave you. It just kind of stays on the back burner sometimes. And when you get those individual hits or that information that comes through, then it's pretty powerful and you want to use it. Just like when I saw the case on Facebook with Lost and Missing. So we're going to dive into that and figure out what else we can do with it, which is really good. Everybody, I want to thank you for joining in for Psychic Cup of Coffee today. It was awesome to be able to talk about my cases that I've worked on in the past and will continue to work. Have a great week, and we will see you next week for another opportunity to talk about psychic awareness on Psychic Cup of Coffee.
You've been listening to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff. Tune in for this hit show every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, offering inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they've lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Psychic Cup of Coffee's message is simple. We just need to pay attention and listen. Are you listening? For more information and to contact Kelly, visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com or call 978-420-8213. Again, that's 978-420-8213. See you next week!
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start winning the game of life with the unique, incomparable Lynn Brown. Lynn's powerful, transferable tools stem from her success in the very competitive world of sports and business.
Since Lynn was one of the top athletes in the United States, she understands really well about the athlete's mind, their challenges, and what athletes need. I have confidence to ask Lynn to take care of my professional team just because of Lynn, her passion, and the power she has.
Lynn is passionate about working with kids and with athletes. Her life is a testament to the incredible power of intention to create miracles. Lynn is dedicated to assisting and inspiring leaders with the vision and tools to realize their dreams.
And she wants to help you next. Enhance your overall performance and the ability to reach your goals. Bring your game face on. Visit letter R, letter U, Intuit.com or call 844 letter B, Intuit.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Into Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. Anxiety is in many ways a learned behavior, which is rooted in our childhood. During our early years, when we are the most dependent on others, negative feedback, judgment, or ridicule infiltrate our subconscious mind and leave us wondering whether we are really safe, lovable, or good enough. In response, a part of our mind develops protective strategies to keep us from getting hurt. Let's imagine that the anxiety you've been battling with stems from the part that has assumed the job of keeping you safe. Doesn't it then make sense that your anxiety makes you expect the worst so that you are prepared, keeps you on your toes to avoid failure, or shames and belittles you before someone else can do this to you? When you consider the source of your anxiety as a vulnerable child that just tries to keep you safe, you no longer feel that you're the victim of your own mind, but instead are more easily able to take on the role of the caring, reassuring adult.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.